It's time for an exclusive content podcast. Here's the theme song. So that is, I guess it's a lamp. It's a lamp in the shape of the, as you can probably tell from the sound effect, a Mario question block. It's not a very bright light. It's like really rubbish as a light. As, you know, like imagine it's dark and you're like, ooh, I want to read this passage of 50 Shades of Grey, but I cannot see for it is too dark. So you go press your Super Mario themed cube shaped question block light. It would not create enough light to accomplish your smut reading. So, it's a bit rubbish as lights go. It's really just a display thing. It was given to me as a gift. I can't remember from who, which is quite sad. But I think it was one of those. It felt like one of those moments where they were like, "Oh, Eddie likes video games. Here's a vaguely video game themed thing he would probably like." And it's like, come on, guys. I have more dimensions than that. But also, yes, this is pretty cool. So, I'm apologizing for the lateness of this podcast, but also the same deal with the previous podcast. I mean, I know people enjoyed the look into the Chicken Run video that never was, but it's just been trouble locking in guests. I think partly because of VidCon that's going on right now. Also, just my own time. Basically, this month, as of recording, I'm about to release the latest EdEgg video about Zootopia. But that wasn't the video that I was making this month. I was actually working on a different video, which was about why the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles weren't called ninjas in the UK. And it turned out to be a vastly deeper story than I planned. And because it was so dense, I felt like I needed more time to do it justice. So even though I'd been working on that for like a couple of weeks, I put it on pause, did the Zootopia one, which was a lot faster to make. And so I think because my time has been divided between basically two videos, only one of them is only just coming out. This is on top of, like, you may notice the return of Tryhards. There's also been a Tryhards to film. And the time has been difficult to keep hold of. So there's no guests, but I'm going to stop apologizing and complaining. Not complaining, I wasn't complaining. I'm sorry for saying that I was complaining, but I'm also going to stop apologizing and just get on with some chit-chat, basically. We're going to chat, you know? What I thought I would do, I was kind of thinking of making this like a patron video anyway, but like I've been basically sitting on it for a long time and I thought, you know what, this is great. This would be a really good time to discuss this in a convenient podcasty format. So this is the inspiration behind the character design of the EdEgg character. Now, obviously, he's based on me. He's based on me in a particular time, though, because I've been drawing this character in this particular style for a long, long time. I think, honestly, since I was in primary school or junior school. I can't remember what the elementary school, I guess. I can't remember what the schooling terms are for the US. But basically, when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. Basically, when I first started to draw, I used to draw a lot of cartoon characters. I used to draw a lot of Sonic characters. I remember one particular instance, the teacher called upon the class to, she was doing, so I can't remember why she was obviously doing some kind of like maths or English or some kind of like demo. It was meant to be tied into a lesson, but I think she thought maybe to tie the kids in and get them really invested, I'll make it Sonic the Hedgehog themed. And she called upon the class to who could draw Sonic the Hedgehog. And I put my hand up. And I think the teacher knew that I could do it. She knew I was shit hot at this. But She purposely picked another kid, I think, to give them a chance. And when they fucked up, when they fucked up hard in front of everyone, and I was laughing. I wasn't laughing. I wasn't that much of a dickhead. But, you know, they did fail to draw the Sonic. They gave up, basically. And then the teacher went, all right, Eddie, you can do it. Like, she didn't even, like, request, okay, who else wants to turn it? It was like, all right, Eddie, come on. The obvious answer, you do it. So I went up, bashed out a Sonic. It's fucking cool. I think I drew a Tails as well, because I'm just that good. But either way, I've been, like, drawing cartoons for such a immeasurably long time. It was always my dream to one day make cartoons. And so I was always, like, drawing these characters. I remember I put together, and this is something I should probably share on the Patreon at some point. I put together a several comic books, you know, where I'd get, like, A3 paper and I'd fold it in half and just hand draw. Like, this is, like, you know, computers weren't up to the drawing, you know, status as they are now. But, like, that, you know, that wasn't really an option for me. But, like, so I drew on paper. I didn't pencil or anything. I'm an idiot. Like, I just drew straight because, like, I drew pen on paper. And the thing is with that is, like, you're inevitably going to make mistakes. And so I used to use stickers, like these white, like, label printer, you know, address labels, right? I'd cut them up and then stick them onto the page. And that would be my way of, like, covering up mistakes. But I made comic books that were made out of this, you know, like the A3 paper folded in half. And then, you know, any mistakes I'd used stickers for. And, like, I'd made up a bunch of comics. And, like, you know, they were, in of their own ways, still rip-offs. You know, they were, like, I didn't have a Sonic OC. You know the thing where people draw their own Sonic the Hedgehog and it's their own original character? I didn't do that, but I did draw, like, other characters that I would say more resembled Tails. In fact, I know in my heart of hearts, this was me ripping off both Tiny Toons and Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog. When I drew, like, these cartoon bunnies and squirrels and skunks and stuff, like, and they were, like, yeah, big-eyed cartoony characters. And, like, I know what I stole it from, but I said, no, these are my original characters. So I make, like, these comic books out of this stuff. So I've been drawing forever. I remember particularly when I was in primary school, as I mentioned, I drew, I would, like, stand on, like, the steps on the playground, and I would yell out to the other kids who wants a drawing. And the idea was that I would get, like, my stack of paper and pens, and I would draw whatever people asked me to. And this weirdly didn't result in me being beaten up. This resulted instead in kids being like, oh, wow, draw me a crocodile, draw me a Sonic, draw me, you know, draw me this. They'll ask me to draw them characters. So I was doing commissions, but for free, basically. So I'd stand there and I would draw whatever cartoon character they wanted and hand them out to people. And, you know, I would have regular people who'd want to come back and want new drawings and stuff. I have no idea what the fuck people are doing with this shit. Probably throwing it in the bin. I don't know. But, hey, you know, fucking hell, if someone out there has, like, an old school Eddie original from, like, the late 80s, you know, all power to you. That, you know, that'd be wild if any of that survived. But eventually when I kept doing this, and eventually I had other people join me, like other people who also enjoy drawing. And so there was, like, a small little group of us, I'd say about 3-4 of us, who would, like, meet up in the playground, would stand on the same spot of these steps, and we would just draw characters and, like, hand them out to people on sheets of paper. And, you know, we did this for, I'd say, several weeks. And it was really cool. We had our own little cartoon club, and, you know, it kind of feels a shame that we never really capitalized on that. And I don't mean, like, money, but, like, hey, why didn't we team up and work on an art project together? What if we collaborated on a comic book? You know, what if we, you know, did anything to kind of, like, push ourselves artistically or anything like that? But no, we didn't. We just kind of, like, would randomly meet up. We would each kind of draw our own stuff and all this kind of thing. And eventually, like, hand them out to people, and that was our entire thing. That was our business structure. There was one kid in particular, his name was Charlie, and I noticed that he would draw characters with these big eyes, but like the kind of eyes that would overlap each other, and then a big bulbous nose. That's how he drew his characters. So like the two big eyes and the big round nose, which of course you may think sounds very familiar because I stole it. I stole it from this kid. I was like, hey, that's a really cool way of drawing eyes. I would draw that, because I think what I was basically doing was Sonic eyes, the kind of cycloptic, or I guess like Tails, you know, where he had two separate eyes. Yeah, I was basically drawing Sonic eyes. But then when I saw this, when I saw the two eyes side by side and the nose, I thought, oh, cool. I'll do that then. And I just started drawing that as well, and like fully adopted that as my art style. I've been racking my brains trying to figure out, at the very least, where did he get that from? Where did Charlie come up with the idea, you know, the concept of the two eyes? Like, you know, it's not just like two eyeballs necessarily next to each other, but it's the fact that they're kind of overlapping in the way they do in that kind of three-quarter turn. That was very specifically what he did with the big round nose. And so I was like, where does that come from? Where did he come up with that? I thought it kind of looks like Looney Tunes. It's not really very Disney, but it kind of looks a lot more Looney Tunes. Like maybe like certain three quarter turns, Bugs Bunny might have his kind of two eyes kind of overlap. There's potentially Sonic influences in there. You know, maybe it is intended to be the cycloptic eyes, but he just drew a line down the middle to separate the eyes. Maybe. I can't emphasize enough how big of a deal Sonic the Hedgehog was at this particular time. So in which case, it can't have been the late 80s. It must have been the early 90s, in which case. but either way, I think where he may have gotten it from, or at least ways where I think I have like expanded upon it since, I think draws influence from Garfield. Garfield has the kind of two large eyes, three-quarter turn, that kind of overlap one another. They don't really have the big round nose, but the kind of big eyes in that style, That looks a lot like, you know, like John Arbuckle, basically, right? So I think it's Garfield. So the eyes of Eddie are stolen from a kid named Charlie, who in turn probably took it / inspired by Garfield. I've expanded on it a lot more, though. Like, I make the character's eyes like big and wild and expressive, and that's pure Looney Tunes. That's pure like me going for like big expression, that kind of thing. So I just found it very funny. The problem is, like with Eddie, because it's video essays, it's mostly going to be very like talky, descriptive, not really meriting a big wild reaction. So whilst I do have a plethora of big reactions, there's a lot of slightly more muted reactions. And like those, probably, you know, yes, they're kind of clear deviations from, you know, the original, you know, two big round eyes. But there's probably like the odd Simpsons like influence in there too, where they also do that kind of lot more muted reaction. In fact, in fairness, Looney Tunes did that too. Chuck Jones did a lot of very muted reactions, where it was all in the eyes. That kind of thing. And I knew when I was going into designing the Eddie character for video essay purposes, I knew that the eyes were the key. I thought the mouth, the lip sync stuff would be less important. As long as it kind of vaguely hits the right beat at the right time, that people are pretty forgiving on that, I think. But the eyes carry a lot. So as long as I make them very emotive, both in extremes and in minor ways, I think that would do the job. And so I remember I spent like before I made the Mr. Burns video, which was the first video of the video essay run, I spent like maybe, I probably spent like 6 months. And then that's not a continuous 6 months. It's an on and off 6 months, like by which I maybe spent a day and then didn't do anything for 2 weeks and then come back and did some more. But I spent about the time in terms of started to finish, it was about 6 months. But if we condense that down into pure how much work I put into this, maybe only a week and a half to 2 weeks. But I spent all that time just on the myriad of expressions for the eyes, for the mouth, also for the hair, for the chin, and also a mixture of the hands as well. And it was all in aid of just making sure that the character would remain emotive, expressive, and animated. And make work, you know, the more I front loaded, the more work I did before I begin, the less work I have to do while I'm making them, and it makes the process a lot easier. I mentioned the mouth, and his mouth is on the side. Now, okay, so Ed Ake's famous left mouth. You know what? I don't know why he has a left mouth. I just remember when I was like tinkering with the character design, for a long time his mouth was a lot more centered. It was kind of to the left. You know, the other character always kind of like looked in that kind of three-quarter turn, facing from left to right. And so the mouth was always slightly left of center, right? I shouldn't say right when I'm talking about directions. So slightly left of center, correct? But still within, you know, his head. And it wasn't until I was, you know, began developing these video essays did I decide to actually have the mouth fully jut out the side. And to me, that just kind of felt right. I think, I mean, correct. I think, I'm trying to think, why did I have it sort of left of center anyway? And I think that, again, that's probably Sonic. Sonic has that kind of strange deal with his mouth where it's not like in the center of his head. You know, you imagine his mouth ought to be center of his eyes, but it's not. It's like to the side, and it kind of gives him that kind of like smirk, which I think I was kind of going for, which I guess nowadays is kind of more like the DreamWorks smile. But then when I developed it for video essays, I just pushed it more to the left, and it just felt better. It seemed to suit the character more. People were a bit weirded out by the left mouth. I don't get so many people mentioning the left mouth anymore, but I know when I first started out, people did. And they kind of just wondered why I did that and why I didn't center the mouth. And I'd be honest, like, I just don't think a mouth that's centered on the edit character looks right at all. I mean, it might be just because I'm so used to it as the way it is, but it just doesn't seem right. And of course, like, it being more to the left side of his head, it allows for greater expressions. If the mouth was in the middle, the mouth might start to overlap the nose and the eyes and stuff. Whereas if it was on the side of his head, it could sort of get as big as I want it to, and it won't get in the way of anything. It won't interfere with the expressions of the face. So, but I did also think, I wonder if there might have been an influence from Aardman. Specifically, Shaun the Sheep. Shaun the Sheep has a left mouth. He sort of, when he does his little bar, he doesn't do it from like the dead center of his face. It comes out like the side of his head. He has a left mouth or a right mouth, depending which direction he's facing. But you know, he has a side mouth, and so I think it might have been from that. Maybe I might be like backwards in adding meaning to something that wasn't there. I may have just done it because it just sort of felt right, but I think I might be applying meaning where there isn't any to suggest that it's Aardman. But I mean, I did fucking love Aardman. I did love like Wallace and Gromit and stuff like that. So I don't think it's outside the realms of possibility that I just like took the Shaun the Sheep side mouth and used that in my character design, maybe. The character also has a 5 o'clock shadow, stubble, basically. And this was the look I had when I first started out in 2017. No, 20 was it 2017 I started or 2018? I've lost track of time. it wasn't 2017. It must have been 2018. Yeah, so anyway. So he's got stubble, basically. He has the Homer Simpson style kind of like brown outline of implied facial hair, right? Before then, when I drew the Ed 8 character before in comics and in web comics as well and stuff like that, if you remember the Ed Egg comics, the Ed Egg character would crop up in that. And, you know, in there, he would have no beard. He would have no, like, facial hair. It would be, like, just skin tone. And that was because that was also what I looked like at the time. So when I redesigned the character for video essays, I updated the facial hair to match because I generally kept a stubble. I used to shave every week. And by the end of the week, it would reach like a level of stubble that I generally kind of like, you know, kept around until I shaved it again on a Sunday night. So I reflected that in the character design. So he has a kind of like 5 o'clock shadow going on all the time. Of course, if I were to update this again, he would have a beard. He would now have a big beard. People have said, should I update the character to include the beard? And I'm hesitant to do that because that would create such a clear, define before and after era of any like Edake video. So like to do a radical character redesign, even if it's just the beard change, hell, I could just change the color of his hoodie. That would still represent like to people like the old stuff and the new stuff, right? People go like, oh, I don't like your new stuff. I preferred your old stuff. And in their mind's eye, it will be before I changed the character design. So I would like, I kind of like the idea that like every video is evergreen, that you can watch one video and, you know, barring maybe a couple of mistakes, maybe something that's out of date, you know, one remark I made is now out of date. Other than those aside, they're basically as evergreen as I can make them. And that you can watch one video and then lead you to another video and lead you to another video. And there's no, like, radical change in how the character looks. So there's no feeling that, like, oh, this is the old stuff or something like that. You know, ideally, you could jump into any one of the videos and they would be still just as entertaining. So I kind of just want to avoid drawing that line. I mean, it may just happen naturally anyway. But I don't want to unless I kind of have to. Or there's not really a have to. I could just kind of keep this up. But yeah, it just doesn't feel right to make kind of like that kind of radical alteration to the character, even so far as to give him a beard. Plus it would involve, so the when the character talks, his chin moves as well. So it's not just a case of adding a beard to him. I would also have to apply, you know, motion to the beard as well. So it's actually a lot more work than just adding something on. There are elements I do want to eventually update the character design anyway. Like, I want the character to be able to turn his head. He's permanently stuck facing left to right. And when I have flipped the Edley character before, if you ever joined a Twitch stream and you've seen the kind of the standby screen, which is the parody of the lo-fi beats girl, he's facing right to left. But I had to alter the character because once I flip the character, the eyes look wrong. The one eye is like jutting out too far, and for him to... So rather than just like, hey, why can't I just take the character and just flip his head to face the other way? Once I do that, the eyes look wrong. It's that whole trope of like, whenever an artist draws something and then they hold up a mirror or they flip the image and it looks like trash. Once you flip it, it's that, basically. So for me to have the character be able to turn his head, I would have to basically redo all the eyes. I can't just... They are one... It's one image. The two eyes together are one image. And so I can't just, like, move one eye closer together. I have to move it across, like, 80 variants. And again, it's... You know, once I've figured it out once, it'd be easy to kind of, like, copy and, like... You know, say I move it, like, 3 notches to the left, you know, and that, or something like that. You know, it'd be easy to, like... Yeah, it'd be tedious, but I can go, you know, frame, frame, you know, just move each eye a little bit to the left, and then, like, that's that done. You know, it's not so much that, but it's still just, like, time to actually get round to doing that. Then, like, it'd be nice to then, I could draw a frame of, like, and this would be terrifying, Edake facing forwards. So, even if it's just for a frame, but, like, the ability for him to look left and right, that would be really cool, I think. I'm also considering smear frames for the arms. So if I want to, like, show his motion feel faster, then, like, what if I created smear frames for the arms? So something like that, basically. Those are some thoughts of, like, just expanding the character in other ways that doesn't alter the character design too radically, but it does expand upon just his general motion, which was always part of the plan. The method of animating this character is meant to be additive, right? As in, anytime I draw a new expression or a new hand gesture, that's added to the pile of props that I now have, and I can call upon those exact same ones anytime I need to. So the character is basically constantly growing and growing and growing in different expressions and gestures and so on. So the hair. The hair is Sonic. He has Sonic hair. the free spikes are basically Sonic quills, but they also represent where I used to have a quiff. I used to, like, gel my hair, and, like, I kind of, like, basically hold my hand over my forehead, and then, like, where hair would then, like, curve over my hand, and I would wax that into position. With gel, you know, where they become really stiff, like straw. And that was my look. That was my look. I had a quiff, basically. People called me Tintin. I didn't like that because I was trying to be cool, damn it. Look, it was the 2000s, okay? We all made mistakes. It was a bad time for everything. So his sticking up hair is basically continuing the quiff, basically. But the way that they're drawn as three big solid spikes, that's Sonic. There's also the tuft at the very back of his head. Now that is just genuinely what I have. I've got a little tuft at the back of my head. It's a crown, basically where my hairlines collide with one another, and it doesn't have a unified direction to go, so it just kind of sticks out. And so usually I'd be like waxing that down or use water or stuff like that. But if my hair's dry, it will just poke up. And, you know, that's fine. You know, I've stopped caring about it. And, like, the fact that I integrated the character design shows that I've accepted it in some form. So that's the character's head. The mouths, I've covered this before, but the mouths, when they are animated, they're on a loop. Whilst I would probably sync it up to individual syllables, when it's, like, multiple syllables together, I will probably just have the mouth loop on a cycle. Because, again, people are more interested in the eyes than the mouth. As long as the mouth is hitting roughly the right beats, it's fine. But the mouth on a loop, I took inspiration from that from a webtoon called Bonus Stage. It was one of the earliest webtoons, and I really loved this show. Matt Wilson like, is just a very, very funny person. There's a ton of shit in there that has not aged well because it's, you know, edgy kid being edgy and stuff. But, like, you know, those blemishes aside, the show is just fantastically funny. And they used to produce this show every week. And the way they managed to keep that up, sort of like similar story to, like, Homestar Runner as well, right? The way they managed to sort of keep that up was because they had their mouths on a loop cycle. But they were just, like, as long as it synced up roughly to the right beats, it was fine. So I just took that method and applied it to this character, both as a standard mouth and also a happier mouth variant. These also could merit with some tweaks. There's some mouth shapes in there that I kind of, other than within the cycle of the loop, I never use otherwise. And I think it'd be nice to give myself more options of just general single syllable mouths. I generally stick to two, one open mouth and one slightly more open mouth. So it'd be nice to have a few more choices in there to choose from. And it took a lot of tweaking to just kind of like have the mouth cycle and look right with almost anything I say. Just to kind of look roughly, not open and closed like a Muppet. When I first started using Flash, that's something I used to do. I'd have the mouth open and close, and it was just like a Muppet. And I didn't like that, so I wanted to develop it into this version instead. The clothes, he's wearing a blue hoodie and he wears gray jeans. You don't often see his legs, but he wears gray jeans. And he has red shoes with white soles. Hey, guess where the red shoes with white soles come from? That's right, it's Sonic again. The blue hoodie and jeans were basically what I was kind of wearing at the time. I've always worn hoodies. I'd prefer zip-up hoodies. Edek doesn't wear a zip-up hoodie because a line going down his chest would look a little odd. But I would never wear a... he's basically wearing a pullover with a hood, and I would never wear one of those. So I only have zip ups, so it's slightly incorrect in that front. But yeah, he's wearing a blue hoodie because I've always worn hoodies, not just blue ones. I just find them very practical because it's a jumper and a coat, because you could put the hood over your head and keep yourself dry, like, and then the zip is right there, so you could just pop it off. Like, it was just an all in one item of clothing. I loved it a lot. I used to wear cargo trousers, and I'm glad I stopped doing that because they were never not scruffy and tatty. Whilst they were, like, very practical with the number of pockets it had, it never looked very good. It served, you know, going to music festivals, but not like trying to look cool. So he has grey jeans instead. Costumes he's worn before, I'm trying to remember. I always used to give him like a blue jumper because it was just one of those kind of like cartoony, easy to draw tops, right? It just covered his whole arm. The neck would be more like a roll, you know, like it'd be like a roll around his neck rather than like, it's not a collar. It's not like a polo neck. But it's more like, it is as if it is a polo neck, but then it curves back down again, almost looking like a rubber ring around his neck. But that's how I used to draw him. I used to just draw him in this just generic jumper. Sometimes I just draw him in a t-shirt and stuff like that. Whatever suited whatever I was doing at the time. But it wasn't until I started doing this that I decided to uniformly keep it to being a blue hoodie. And I have wanted to, like, have the means that his clothes could change. I've dabbled in it before, but like the complexity of the multiple arm gestures means that it's hard to have him have a wardrobe, basically. That's something I think I'd also like to add, at very least, like, not necessarily add a wide wardrobe to him, but the means that I could do that, that I could just jump into a particular element, change the jumper, say, from, you know, blue to red, and that would, like, go across all the gestures. I wouldn't have to go into each one in particular and make that alteration. It would just update them all. That's something I need to toy with as well. But yeah. Are there any other elements of the character, of the Edek character design, that I need to
go over? I don't think so. I suppose the hands are these big, chunky hands. They're four fingers in classic cartoon style because, like, Mickey Mouse, Bugs Bunny, everyone, like, in that kind of, like, golden era of cartoon characters, they all had four fingers because, basically, it was easier to draw because the characters had, like, these thick sausage-like fingers. It was just easy to draw them with four fingers instead of five. That just became practical. I continued that tradition, even though it's not something you see nowadays. I think with, like, advances in animation, people now just, like, consistently draw five-fingered characters. You know, they can be slender hands now because they're not limited by, you know, particular brushes or particular cells, or you know they're not limited by the sort of, yeah, the medium at the time. Now five fingers are entirely up for grabs. Hey. But that's basically it. A lot of the hand gestures themselves are, like, Looney Tune infused, basically Western animation, allowing them to be just as expressive as the face. And that was, like, one of the standards I wanted to have going into making video essays. I have nothing against the PNG tuber, who have effectively a stock stack of static poses that they just cycle through. That's fine. It's just that's the medium they've chosen, and hey, you know, I can't begrudge them. They could turn around videos fucking faster than I can. But I knew I wanted my character to be more animated. I took that from Animated Story Times. When Rick was first born, 2017, I was around that time watching a lot of video essays. Animated Story Times. A lot of Jaden Animations, Rebecca Parham. I never really got into Odds One Out, weirdly. But, you know, stuff like that. And so I liked the way that they were animated and expressive. And, like, I come from animation stock. You know, I've been on Newgrounds for a long time. I've made animations like Ed Egg and stuff like that. So I'm more than capable of animating the character. And I knew once I front-loaded it with all those expressions and stuff that I would be able to turn around, you know, animated video essays. Like, still not a lot. Like, in a 10-minute video, it will maybe have about maybe 20 to 30 seconds of animation. So it wouldn't even be a lot of animating to do. But it would still allow me to be a lot more... have a lot more fun. It's maybe a more fun video to watch. The animated character matches the energy that I wanted these videos to have. These slightly more, like, faster paced, high, not necessarily, like, exhaustively high energy, but, you know, still peppier than, like, some droll video, you know, other droll video essays. The kind of, like, and then in that front, like, I took, you know, inspiration. Obviously, there's a lot of work I did with Tom, and so that taught me a lot about pacing. A lot of the work I did with Mr. Weeble, and that taught me, like, that kind of, like, to lean into the more absurdism side of humor. But, like, other inspirations were, like, Scott the Woz. Like, I love Scott the Woz's energy. I would say that if you watch my Scooby-Doo video, that's me attempting to be Scott the Woz. In that... it's a lot more frantic, a lot more live action sections, and a lot more, like comedy that just makes the video fun to watch. Even while you're also learning, it's just fun and witty and just funny. And so it was through, like, Scott the Woz that I figured out that, like, I should at least end video essays on a joke. I don't always, but, like, 90% of the time I end on a joke. It comes back to the animated character and it will be some, like, conclusion to a running joke or some, like, yeah, some joke that is thematically fit into what I'm talking about. But that's from Scott the Woz. because he always ends his video on a big joke and then the video ends. And I want to do that. So I am doing that. Yeah, that's basically it. I think I've covered a lot there. a lot of the influences that I drew upon to create the Edake character and his stylings. So, yeah, that's basically it then. So, all right. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to stop apologizing. I've had people, and you know who you are. You've called me out for apologizing too much, so I'm not going to do that. However, I will try and be back on track with podcasts. Especially since, as I mentioned, like the video, you know, the Zootopia video is coming out, and it was the second script I worked on since I worked on something else. But I have started that other one. I've done a lot of headway on that other one. So it shouldn't be like taking up my entire July to turn around that video, or at least the script. And once I've done the script and I've recorded it, I've handed it over to the editor, I'm like slightly more free to do stuff. So I think once, because I've already done the lion's share of work, it should hopefully not take me too much to sort of get it to that next stage. And so I should be a little bit more freer. And, you know, there's ongoing stuff with, you know, Tom Scar and Friends, Tryhards, other work and obligations, Rick starting school soon, you know, this kind of thing. So there's a lot of big things happening. But I shall continue to attempt to keep on top of the podcasts and keep delivering you interesting things and fun things. Yeah, I'll go with that one. Fun. At least we have fun, eh? Okay, I'm rambling now. I'm just talking a lot of... I'm just shooting the shit. It's hard being on my own. All right, okay. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And I will see you next time. Alrighty? Bye-bye.